Blog Talk Radio.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know on the radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of Metro Atlanta's premier business spotlight publication. At People You Need to Know, we work hard to help people find your business. In this segment, we're going to be talking about public schools and how KIPP Metro Atlanta is preparing kids for college. My guest today is the executive director for KIPP Metro Atlanta. He is a Morehead Scholar and graduate of the University of North Carolina Kenan Flagler Business School. Our guest received his teaching certification through Georgia State University's Urban Alternative Program and his master's in educational administration from National Lewis University in Chicago. We are delighted to have on the phone today the leader of Atlanta's best-kept public school secret, Mr. David Jernigan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing great. And you?
Fantastic, and I'm trying to get better.
All right.
Before we get started, KIPP is an acronym, right?
It is.
What does it mean?
It stands for Knowledge is Power Program.
All right. How did KIPP get started?
KIPP started back in 94. It's actually two 24-year-old teachers who were frustrated where their elementary kids were going on to middle school. And rather than pointing the blame at other people, decided to look themselves in the mirror and say, what can I do about it? So they stayed up all night one night and came up with the idea of KIPP. And ask themselves the question, what would happen if we asked kids to commit to coming to school for longer hours? What if they came to school from 7:30 to 5? What would happen if we asked them to commit to doing a couple hours of homework every night? What would happen if we asked them to come to school on a Saturday and come to school for extra time during the summer and held them to higher expectations? What could happen to kids who other people had given up on? And they decided to try this program out. So they went to their principals and ultimately got the school started in 94 in Houston. And for several years, it existed as just a middle school in Houston and a middle school in South Bronx, where one of the co-founders went to found the second school. And they plugged along for several years and got fantastic results. At the end of eighth grade, when their kids were graduating, they were sending them off to some of the most elite schools in the country and seeing amazing results from kids in communities where other people had given up on them. And it caught the attention of 60 Minutes. And in 2000, they did a special on KIPP. And that kind of got the snowball going, and Don and Doris Fisher, who were the founders of the Gap and Old Navy clothing stores, heard about KIPP and saw the 60 Minute special and said, we want to invest in replicating this kind of model throughout the country. So in 2001, they started KIPP as a national organization and started growing KIPP schools throughout the country. So 9 years later, we have 66 schools in 19 states serving over 16,000 kids. And those schools are doing quite well throughout the country. We started KIPP Ways Academy in 2003 and KIPP South Fulton Academy in 2003, and those schools are now in their sixth year and following the KIPP model and also doing quite well.
Well, Mr. Jernigan, what makes KIPP different than traditional public schools?
It's a great question. I probably should first start by what makes them the same as public schools. First of all, they are public schools. They're charter schools, which oftentimes people think are private schools, but we receive tax dollars to support the school. They're open enrollment schools, so we're not selecting kids or handpicking kids. It's often a myth that charter schools cream the crop, but in fact, we conduct a lottery if we have more kids who sign up than we have slots for, so we're just pulling their names out of a hat. We are held accountable to the same standards that traditional public schools are in terms of standardized tests. But what's different is a few things. First of all, we have a pretty demanding educational model. I referenced the hours that our kids go to school. So they're in school about 60% more time than traditional public school students. They come to school at 7:30 in the morning. They don't leave until 5 o'clock. They have Saturday school twice a month. They have 3 extra weeks in the summer. And we really take kind of a tough love approach. So we're strict in terms of discipline, but it's a very nurturing environment, but it is a very demanding environment. The second thing I would say is that we empower our leaders. They have a great deal of autonomy that's traditional public school principal wouldn't have. They have complete control over their budget, so they can use the resources that have been provided to them based upon what they think best meets the needs of their kids. So, for example, we take several end-of-year field trips with our kids. Our fifth graders go to Washington, D.C. every year for a week. Our sixth graders go to the mountains of North Carolina for an outward bound type field trip. Our seventh graders go typically to New York City. our eighth graders have gone on international experiences. Our first class of students went to Ghana, West Africa for 2 weeks. And the reason we have the flexibility to do that is that the school leaders have that power within their budget to control the funds as they think best meets the needs of their kids. They also have freedom in terms of who they hire and who they fire. In a traditional school, if a teacher comes in and is underperforming for kids, typically they'll stay in the classroom at least through the end of that year until the principal can transfer them to another school. In a kids' school, and in most charter schools, our employees are held to higher standards, and if they're not doing right by the kids, we get rid of them. Finally, the principal has complete autonomy in terms of decisions he or she makes with regard to the instructional program at the school. So they're not subject to any sort of instructional program that perhaps the district's doing, a reform model the district may be doing. Again, they get to pick what best meets the needs of their kids. The last thing I would say that makes KIPP different is that we really have a whatever it takes mentality. There are a lot of schools that kind of wave the banner of all kids can succeed, but at KIPP we believe that all kids will succeed. And, you know, it may sound like semantics, but that one word changing can to will really shifts the way you approach education. And at our schools, it's not an option to fail. We do whatever it takes to make sure our kids make it to college and ultimately are successful.
How do you know that what you're doing is working?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we use to measure our success. I mean, so there's the traditional looking at test scores. So we take the same standardized tests that our kids take, you know, around the country in public schools. There's actually a website, schooldigger.com, that ranks public schools in the United States. And if you look at the 452 middle schools in the state of Georgia, KIPP Waves Academy is ranked number 21 overall, and KIPP South Fulton Academy is ranked number 35. They're the only two middle schools in the top 100 in Georgia that have a majority of students coming from low-income neighborhoods. So the two KIPP schools are prime examples in Georgia that we're closing the achievement gap. Nationally, if you look at our test scores across the board, our kids come in typically about a grade level behind on national norm reference tests. They leave us at the end of eighth grade, well above grade level, and typically outperforming kids from some of the most affluent neighborhoods in our country. So the second thing we look at is college matriculation. Our two original KIPP schools are now mature enough and graduating enough kids that we can look at data that shows how many of our kids are going on to college, because that's the ultimate mission of KIPP, is to get our kids to college. And we're working in neighborhoods where typically fewer than 20% of kids end up going on to college. But within KIPP, we have flipped that statistic, and 80% of our kids are going to college. And so we know for sure that it's working when we're seeing those kind of results. And the last thing is perhaps a bit intangible, but it's in some ways perhaps the most important. We know it's working because our kids keep coming back. So we've graduated two classes of alumni at KIPP Waves Academy, the school that I founded. And every time I go back to the school, we see, you know, kids who are no longer even come to the school or hanging out up at the school and come to see us and very much feel attached to the family that we've created there. So the nurturing environment that we have for them is a support system that they lean on heavily.
Well, what happens to your kids after they complete eighth grade with the KIPP Metro Atlanta?
Yeah, so currently our two schools in Metro Atlanta, which, by the way, we ultimately are hoping to grow quite a bit here in the next few years. In fact, we have a third school opening this summer, KIPP Strive Academy. Right now, we only serve kids for 5th through 8th grade in terms of in our schools. When the kids get to 8th grade, each of the schools has a high school placement counselor whose job is to work with each family to find the best fit of a high school for them. So many of our kids end up going on to private schools on full scholarships. We have multiple kids at national boarding schools around the country on full scholarships. We have kids at private independent schools here in the Metro Atlanta area. And then we have a large number of our kids and most of our kids that are going back to public schools, so either in magnet programs or in their neighborhood schools. The key point is that we don't lose track of them once they leave us, because our mission, again, is to get them to college. And in order to fulfill that mission, we have to continue to stay engaged in their lives. And so we've started a KIPP to College alumni program where our kids come back for after-school programs. We do tutorials for them. We have full-time people who go into their high schools and check on them, make sure they're enrolled in the right classes to be on the college track, and continue to stay engaged in their lives in a way that's meaningful and ensures that they're staying on track and staying out of trouble. Ultimately, many of our KIPP regions have decided that because of the lack of quality high school options in the neighborhoods, KIPP has evolved to be more than just a middle school program. In many of our cities around the country, we've started high schools as well as elementary schools. And so as we're looking to grow here in Atlanta, we are exploring the opportunities to potentially grow a high school and even perhaps delve into elementary schools.
Well, Mr. Jernigan, before we wrap up, tell our listeners what aspects of KIPP's approach could be adopted by other public schools.
It's a great question. You know, our mission is not just the 300 kids we serve in KIPP Ways and the 300 kids we serve at KIPP South Fulton. Our mission is much larger and greater than that. We hope to impact public education at a much broader scale throughout the country and specifically here in Metro Atlanta. And frankly, there's no secret sauce. I mean, it is really about rolling up our sleeves and working hard. It starts first with expectations, and we hope to be a model and prove that the kids that we serve in Metro Atlanta are just as bright as any kid from the most affluent neighborhoods in this country. But it has to start with a fundamental shift in the way that we believe and approach education for our kids. And it might be that we have to do a little bit harder work in terms of the hours we put in. If our kids are coming in, you know, several grade levels behind, we can't do the same old thing and expect that we're going to catch them up. So within KIPP, what we've learned is that the extra hours really do pay off. So it's looking for teachers who are willing to do that at a public school context and looking for school districts who are willing to be innovative and to try new things and perhaps reallocate their resources in a way where they can add additional hours to the day. I would also add that ultimately within KIPP, people make all the difference. And so you have to be out there hiring smart people and getting them into the organization, but you can't hire smart people without giving them the freedom to lead and the freedom to innovate and the freedom to ultimately do what they know is in the best interest of their kids. We have so many fantastic educators in this country who feel stifled by what's required of them in their classrooms or principals who feel stifled by what's required of them in the district, and they don't have the autonomy and the freedom to do what's in the best interest of kids oftentimes. And you know, perhaps that's a lot to do with the bureaucracy that gets created as you grow school districts. But I think what KIPP is showing is that having, and I always use the analogy of it's like driving a jet ski. I think in a KIPP school, I feel like the principals are driving jet skis, whereas in a public school district, it's like driving a barge. Oftentimes, to make any decision, it requires a great deal of effort and work within a larger school district context. But within a KIPP school, you have the freedom to make quick decisions that's in the best interest of students and do those immediately. Finally, I would say, you know, at the end of the day, KIPP success is really at the foundation, its very core, is about the culture that we create within the schools. You know, so any school out there can add these extra hours, they can put the uniforms in place, you know, they can try all the KIPP slogans that we use, but if you don't know how to create an organizational culture that underpins what you're trying to do in your mission, you're not going to be successful. And you know, we have become quite successful as an organization at creating school cultures very strategically. We're very intentional about growing our schools one grade at a time. And we do that because it's important that we have a school culture that supports the efforts we have in place. So everything from a very disciplined environment to making sure that our kids understand the minute they walk in the door that the expectation of our school is that they go to college. Our homerooms, for example, are very intentionally not named after the teachers' names. They're named after the college that teacher went to. So if I were a teacher within a KIPP school, my kids would be the Carolina homeroom, not the Mr. Jernigan homeroom. And it's those little things that sets the expectation when they walk in the door. And for many of our kids, you know, it may be the first time that they've heard the idea that they're expected and that they can go to college if that's something they want to do with their lives. Finally, within that culture, I think we've become quite successful at creating a community. And in the fundamental belief that when one of us fails, we all fail. When one of us succeeds, we all succeed. And that's what's missing in a lot of our communities around the country is that we've lost that sense of a village and that sense of accountability to each other. But it plays out at a KIPP school oftentimes when one kid's not doing well, the teacher will ask his teammate, why did you let your teammate not do his homework last night? And, you know, if a kid's misbehaving, sometimes the whole class suffers because that's the reality. And it's sort of like a team sport, if you will. You know, when one person drops the ball, we all run laps. And that kind of shift in the way you approach education with middle school students and high school students ultimately creates a community and a family where we're supporting each other to get to college. And ultimately, that's the way we're going to revitalize communities and make a difference throughout Metro Atlanta. And so we believe that, again, there's no secret sauce to what we're doing, but a lot of what we're doing could be adopted by other public schools. And we're very much open to sharing and exchanging ideas and inviting other schools and principals to come see our schools and also to go and engage with them and see what they're doing that's working.
Well, in the time we have left, tell our listeners how you can be reached.
Absolutely. We have a great website, kippmetroatlanta.org. That's kippmetroatlanta.org. Or you can always reach us at our office at 404-924-6310. And we are here to serve and would be happy to answer any questions folks may have.
Well, Mr. David Jernigan, Executive Director for KIPP Metro Atlanta, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Sparkplug.
You've been listening to People You Need to Know on Sparkplug Radio, the radio station connecting you to Atlanta's top business professionals. I'd like to thank my producer, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for another first-rate job. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, Google Sparkplug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com. Until next time, always remember that you can add a spark to whatever you do, and thanks for tuning in.